may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, our sermon text for this Monday, Thursday, is the gospel lesson which you have just heard read. And tonight, dear friends, we'll be looking at the Passover to the Lord's Supper. And this is our text, the Holy Gospel, Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 25. Dearest saints of our Lord in heaven, thousands upon thousands of lambs, buckets upon buckets of blood, this is the history of Passover. In Egypt, in the land of exile, the land of slavery, the Israelites suffered under the iron fist of the Pharaoh. And this line of Pharaoh that enslaved Israel did not know the saving work of Joseph. They did not remember, and neither did they care, that it was Joseph who saved Egypt from a devastating famine. So this line of Pharaoh forced Israel to build their monuments and their grand cities. They suffered under terrible hardship, brutal labor, unending despair were the fate of the Hebrews. They groaned under their burdens that were placed upon them. They suffered under ruthless taskmasters. And so they cried out. They cried out to God, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. They called out to him in their misery. Yahweh heard their cries. And Yahweh remembered his covenant that he had made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So the Lord chooses a deliverer, Moses. Moses is to be the mediator between God and Pharaoh. Moses is to come before Pharaoh and demand this one thing only: let my people go. Pharaoh, though, was a very stubborn and a very, very arrogant man. Plague after plague only hardened his heart more and more. After all, he is a God, and his God and he himself must be more powerful than this desert God of the Hebrews, who no one has ever heard of before. Therefore, Yahweh shows Pharaoh, and he shows Egypt, that Pharaoh is not God, and that the gods of Egypt are not gods. Yahweh proves to them that he is the Lord. So therefore, as you heard in our text this evening, before the destroyer comes into the midst of Egypt, there are preparations for the Hebrews to make. They are to take a lamb that is a year old, whether it's a sheep or a goat, doesn't matter, but it must be a male, and it must be spotless and without blemish. And this lamb must be for each family. If the family is too small, they are to join with their neighbor, but they are to ensure that each and every person of that family will be able to eat of the lamb. And they are to sacrifice this lamb. They are to shed its blood. And in the shedding of the lamb's blood, they are to paint it on the lintel and the doorpost of their homes. Why lamb's blood? In a moment, you'll find out. You see, there is one more plague to come. That's the reason why the Hebrews are to follow this commandment of God. And this one more plague to come with the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, during this plague, the Lord would pass over them as long as he saw the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. You see, dearest ones, it's the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb that would save them. It's because of the blood of the Lamb that the destroyer would pass over them. And he would pass over the destruction and the death that he was about to bring upon the Egyptians. So that very night, the angel of death comes into Egypt. The firstborn of every household in Egypt dies. Even the firstborn of every animal dies. All firstborn, from the house of the lowest slave to the house of Pharaoh himself, every eldest dies. Great wailing and mourning is heard in Egypt as they count their dead. And the death count must have been very, very high. You see, there is no escaping this terrible, avenging angel of death. They have shook their fist at God. And whenever we shake our fist at God, we must be ready for the consequences, even death itself. But for the Hebrews, the blood of the Lamb painted on the lintel and the doorpost, they were rescued. They were passed over. This tenth and final plague proves too much for Pharaoh. He orders the Hebrews out of Egypt. They are free. They have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And so each year the people of Israel were to commemorate and celebrate the great rescue and the sacrifice of the Lamb. They were to eat it in haste, though, as they remembered the Lord's passing over them. Yet as they remembered the rescue and the deliverance that was accomplished, they must always remember that it was by the blood of the Lamb. So after thousands and thousands of lambs and buckets of blood, Jesus now gathers with his disciples in the upper room to once again celebrate the Passover. They eat and they drink and they remember the great salvation that God had worked for his people Israel as he brought them out of the land of slavery, out of the wilderness of Egypt, out of certain death in a foreign land. But then, as Jesus is gathered around his disciples, Jesus changes everything. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, takes bread, he gives thanks, and he gives it to his disciples, and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he takes the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing, dear ones, was the third cup that was to be drunk during the Passover. There were a total of six, and this was the third. This cup of blessing Jesus takes, he drinks from it, he gives thanks to his Father in heaven, and he gives it to his disciples, and he says, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this often, in remembrance of me." The Old Testament sacrifices and the sacrifice of the Passover was animal sacrifice. It was animal's blood. But now the new Passover, the new sacrament, is the sacrament of our Lord. It is his body and it is his blood. The blood of thousands and thousands of lambs has now reached its fulfillment, replaced by the one Lamb, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus, who is the Christ. All of those lambs, the best from each flock, they were lambs without spot or blemish. It's now been fulfilled. And they have been replaced by by the perfect, pure, and holy Lamb of God. The salvation and the deliverance from the land of slavery and sin and of exile is now fulfilled, replaced by salvation from the slavery of sin and death and the power of the devil. A return from exile, out of the land of bondage into a new freedom, dear ones, into a new covenant. And you and I, we are the people of this new covenant. We are the people who have been called out of exile. We are the people who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are the people who have received grace upon grace upon grace. And this grace of God in His Word and in His sacrament is constantly being proclaimed to us and served to us. We are the people. We are the people for whom the blood of the Lamb was poured out upon the old rugged cross of Calvary. As His holy, precious, and innocent blood dripped from and ran down that cross, you and I are cleansed from all guilt and corruption, all iniquity and sin, completely washed away. You are reconciled. You are rescued. Dear one, you are redeemed. You are returned from the exile into a new and beautiful relationship with your Father in heaven. You are the people of God who now live each day in the joy of walking with Him. Once you were not a people, as Scripture tells us, but now you are the people of God. Yes, there were thousands and thousands of lambs, and there were thousands and thousands of buckets of blood. All of these Passover lambs, they all point to the cross. So therefore, it is right for us to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away all your sin. He is the one who hung on the cruel tree. And He is the one who is here tonight to serve you once again with body and blood, with the very same words that He used in the upper room. And it is these words, dear ones, that continue to echo in your heart. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. This holy meal, this meal of Passover, this final and ultimate perfect meal is the holy meal of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which He instituted in the upper room, which He validated upon His cross, and which He now is present to serve each and every one of you. And so then, as you eat His body and drink His blood, your eyes must be, dear ones, turned back to the cross. And as you look to the cross, and as His body and as His blood fills your body, you remember the sacrifice. You remember the final and ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb of God who has taken away all your sin and has cleansed you from sin and shame, and then lovingly and mercifully says to each and every one of you, I forgive you of all your sin. In His holy name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.